Well, happy Sabbath, brethren. Good to have everybody back. This is not to be taken lightly. It's been a month plus since we've seen each other in person, and this is wonderful. It is a little bit daunting, though, to be tasked with speaking when we have, you know, our pastor almost in the front row here, and then we have our associate pastor, assistant pastor, just right behind him. And so, you know, I'm not nervous at all. Let's hope that things work out as planned and we all find ourselves encouraged, uplifted, and prompted to thought in this message. So if we can go ahead and put our presentation slide up. I have a message I'd like to bring to you today entitled, Like a Tree Planted by the Waters. And the title of this message comes from a verse in Jeremiah chapter 17, in verse 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. And we know the Bible in poetic language, in symbolic language, really is speaking when it says he. We're talking about mankind. We're talking about those called according to the great purpose that God has for each and every one of us. So you ladies are included in this concept of being like a tree planted by the waters. The scriptures contain many analogies likening Christians to trees. In the book of Psalms, David wrote, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper." That was from Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The prophet Isaiah also wrote, "That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he, God, may be glorified." And that's citing Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. Now we know that trees grow. It's what they do. If we carry through with this thought, then there has to be growth in us also that's expected by this analogy. And that growth is represented by rings, the tree rings, spiritual tree rings. There also is some pruning and getting rid of dead growth. There also has to be usable fruit. The past silver season can be a wonderful time of growth. Just as trees grow rapidly in the springtime, drawing moisture from the wet soil, so can we, during this season, grow more in the stature and fullness of Christ. As we focus on him, feasting on the bread of life, we are asked to examine ourselves in this growth process as we look to the Son of God and the light of his word to direct our ways. Our spiritual tree rings reveal the times of growth, some seasons perhaps better than others. Next slide, please. Slide number 2. So this is a cross-cut section of a tree, right? A stump, maybe. We can look at it that way. And as you can see, you know, we have first-year growth, rainy season, dry season, scar from a forest fire. Those are all pointed out. Spring, early summer growth, and late summer fall growth that's represented on the chart. Now, these rings can tell us how old the tree is. because it represents a year. And what the weather was like during each of the tree's life, each year of the tree's life. The light-colored rings represent wood that grew in the spring and early summer, while the dark rings represent wood that grew in the late summer and fall. One light ring plus one dark ring equals 1 year of the tree's life. For example, tree rings usually grow wider in warm, wet years, and they are thinner in years when it is cold and dry. If the tree has experienced stressful conditions, think of yourself as this spiritual tree, no stressful conditions. Like today, my ring is doing some things today because I'm stressed. I'm not stressed. I'm okay. Don't worry about me, but pray. Pray that this turns out okay. Where was I? Oh, yeah. If the tree has experienced stressful conditions such as drought, the tree might hardly grow, you know, at all in those years. The rings can also represent for us our spiritual growth. The early growth section can be equated to the spring holy days, which we're about to enter into, and the late growth to the fall festivals that come later in the year, with some years, again, naturally being more growth filled than others. Some things that that would likely be viewed as counterintuitive to what we're seeing, you know, from a physical tree is, it, you know, a fire, right? A spiritually, a trial or testing would likely result in more growth for us versus a scar, right? For a physical tree. And the first year growth, what do we call that in the church of God? Our first love, right? That could show a ton of growth versus that little small dot in the center. Or maybe there could be some scars there as we make some mistakes and as we pull away and break free from the grips of this world. Again, the idea is to start getting you thinking like a tree, right? How is your spiritual growth represented like in these rings of a tree's growth? Next slide, please. Okay. You know, I had some real conundrums trying to figure out what picture to use because everything out there, they want you to pay for. I'm not really big on paying for pictures. I'll take them and do it all day. So I found a free source. This was the best one I could find in the free source. But you can see all these trees here that are planted by this water. And they're soaking up that water and they're healthy. Another concept or an analogy that I'd like to bring here is the concept of each individual tree having its own song. Now, this is likely the first time you've ever heard this concept because I've never even talked to anybody except for one person that's ever talked to me about it. And that was my dad. I was sitting out on a porch, kind of in a little sheltered area, and there was wind blowing around there, and there were lots of trees in the area where I grew up. And I was watching the trees move around with the wind, and I was considering, you know, what's moving them and all of that. And I was really enjoying it. I just loved sitting there watching that. My dad came out, and he made a comment to me about, did you know that each one of those trees has its own individual particular sound? It has its own song. As the wind goes through it, they're individual footprints of sound. And you can tell each tree by the sound it makes. Boy, that set something inside of me that I just said, that's beautiful. I love it. So, you know, every time I see a tree moving around in the wind, I think of my dad. I think of him saying this to me. I think about it, what it represents spiritually also, because God's Holy Spirit is equated to wind. If we're equated to being trees, God's spiritual wind is blowing through us, and there's a resonance, right? Maybe a sound that comes out. Now, I realize this is a construct, right? You're not going to go in your Bible and find this. But I think it's an interesting analogy to meditate on and to think about when we think about us being like trees planted by the water and we think about God's Spirit moving through us. I have a couple of questions that come along with that. What do our individual songs, right, sound like to God as his wind, his pneuma, flows through us? How are we doing seeking growth necessary to improve upon the capacity for God to be more and more pleased with that song that is heard as God's pneuma, his spiritual wind, flows through us? Again, in Jeremiah 17, verse 8, like a tree planted by the waters which spreads out its roots by the river, there's four things that are in there. The first is we are not to be fearful when heat comes. And there's some spiritual concepts that are there. The second is our leaves are to be green. We're to be healthy. We're not to lose our leaves. The third is we are not to be anxious in drought. And the fourth is we are not to cease in yielding fruit. You know, the thing that's noteworthy here is that although we're speaking about what seems to be a static thing, right? A tree. It's planted, it's there, doesn't go anywhere, doesn't pick up its bags and move over to, you know, the next neighborhood. But there's action and movement embedded in the wording that God is using in this verse and like verses about trees. Next slide, please. So this is a slide that I found this on the ucg.org site, and it talks about how we can identify and move through different elements that represent different pieces of spiritual growth in our lives. And this is one topic, and I picked it because it seems apropos for the time frame we're in. And, you know, as we approach Passover time frame, some things I'd like to point out is that, you know, we have a column heading there. We have the name of kind of the category down the rows there. And then we have headers across the top that talk about outer man and inner man and scriptures. And this will become a little bit more clear as we go through it. The lower levels of this section, the number one worldly sorrow row, that's really, and the ones right above that until we get to the fourth level, which is supposed to picture Christ as an example, right, of what he's supposed to look like and thus what we're supposed to look like. Those lower levels are like a wood veneer. And the levels progress to where a level four is likened to the highest quality solid hardwood. On the concept of veneer, have you ever thought that it's possible to be living life, looking good from the outside, but in which there's no depth in those things that are on the outer man level? You know, and over the long haul, a veneer, right, a little thin piece of wood that goes over something else will not hold up long term. As it weathers over time, there is little to no capacity to sand it down or refinish it because it is so very thin. It's fragile. Matthew 23, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles, you're welcome to. Matthew chapter 23. And verses 25 through 28. And I'm going to go through a few scriptures here that talk about how we should be viewing our spiritual walk, our spiritual life, and progressing through life to try and identify the things that we need to work on and go on to a better condition. Matthew 23, verses 25 through 28 says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside, you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs." I mean, being called a dirty dish or a cup is not bad enough. Now you're a whitewashed tomb, right? "Which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Again, there's a veneer that looks really good from the outside, but what's on the inside? We should really want to strive, you know, to the best of our ability to identify personally where we have room for growth and submit ourselves to God to those things that will drive us forward towards his goal for us, so that we never find ourselves in a circumstance where these things that were said to the scribes and the Pharisees about being hypocritical could be targeted towards us. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, and this, I think this is one that was quoted last week in the sermon. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. An alternate translation of that in the New Living, the NIV, ESV, a couple others, is go on to maturity, right? Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection, of the dead, eternal judgment. Verse 3, and this we will do if God permits. And that's where I'd like us to focus on this, is that God wants us to grow, and we need him's involvement in order for us to get into that growth, to get those rings operating and adding on and laying on appropriately. Ephesians chapter 3, and verses 14 through 19. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, this probing the width and length and depth and height, that's got a certain meaning. I think today what I'd like you to consider on this is the concept of that being applied to looking inside of ourselves in this way. You know, we will realize we are enigmatic pretty quickly, just like Paul was saying about himself, right? And I'll just cite you a couple of scriptures from Romans chapter 7, verses 14 and 15, and verses 18 and 19. What did Paul say there? For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Verse 15 is the moneymaker here. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Maybe some of you, like me, really can align with those statements. So, we'll start at the bottom of the slide and work our way up through the levels to see if we can get some visibility of the what's and the why's within our own personal circumstances, which might come in onto our spiritual radar for issues that God is prompting us to seek growth in. Next slide, please. So you see some fancy stuff going on here with this slide, right? I took a slide, and this is all just one thing, and then I just put some boxes on it and covered some stuff up. And so you're going to see revealings that happen over the way, so we focus in on stuff. But, you know, no wizardry there. It's just, you know, very simple stuff. The scriptures that we're going to cover about worldly sorrow are down over here at the right. And so we'll just go ahead and go through those. So if As soon as I get done reading the one, we're just going to go right into the other one, and we're going to fill our minds with scripture, and then we're going to talk about some ideas about outer man and inner man on this. So 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 30. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord your God. So what's being said here is, I've sinned, but you know, I don't want to be looking bad. I don't want to have the penalty. I said I wasn't going to make any comments, didn't I? I read the scripture. Let's move on. No comments now. We'll move on. Acts chapter 8 and verse 9 through 24. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, verse 15, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. It had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay the hands may receive this Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see you are poisoned by the bitterness and bounty and bound by iniquity. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. Exodus 9, verses 27 through 30. Exodus 9, 27 through 30. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. Sounds like he's admitting something. The Lord is righteous and my people are wicked. You know, we're all bad. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thundering and hail, for it is enough. I will let you go and you shall stay no longer. Verse 29. So Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease and there will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. Verse 30. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord. In other words, you're saying all the right things. I'm not supposed to comment. Shut that down. Okay. Matthew 3, verses 5 through 10. Matthew 3. Make sure if you guys are going there, you can get there with me. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Verse 10, I added one here. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So I think I can make a comment on that, that there is a tie-in to people being viewed as trees. Next slide, please. So now we're just going to go ahead and go through what the outer man what scripture informs us the outer man looks like and what the inner man elements look like. So this slide on the left on the bottom row one there is now opened up. It says, under the outer man, they will say, I have sinned, but it doesn't mean I repent. Works more on appearance than fixing the sin. The person hides until found and offsets guilt by getting sympathy and striking out or, you know, self-medicating or numbing themselves. Next slide, please. The inner man only feels bad when caught. Sorrow is for their personal suffering, not their sin against God or others. They want to escape the penalty, and they think more about their image and how it's tarnished. And, you know, I think we can examine ourselves on these elements. Not everything's going to line up, right, and represent everything that's going on in our lives, but maybe God will prick our conscience a little bit about something that maybe is a little bit of an issue for us to look into. You know, we can examine ourselves on how many of the outward elements we may be exhibiting, but more importantly, we can ask God to give us insight on the truth of how he sees our internal motivations. What is the inward man doing? And ask him to help us move forward to lay in growth rings in those things in which he reveals we are lacking. Next slide. In case some of you are looking at your clocks and saying split sermon, timing, this kind of thing. We're going to skip through the scripture reading on these next two, and I'm going to make this available to you digitally so that you can study it as you prepare for Passover, if you so choose. I do encourage you, though, to take this, read the scriptures, and then think about what's being said about the outer and the inner man and the topic, the name of that category, and really try and think, what does this look like in me? And I think we'll find we are enigmatic, and maybe it'll prompt us to some thoughts and some growth focus in our lives. So I'm going to just read the outer man and the inner man. So the first one was worldly sorrow was the category. This one is categorized repent and repeat. On the outer man, they repent but fall back into the same sins. Addictions might be present year over year. Year over year, two steps forward, two steps backward. We'll repent with outward pressure, but words do not follow the actions. And the inner man on this representative line says they repent, but thinks repentance is transactional. It's not an ongoing thing, right? Doesn't understand their own nature. They're like Paul on some level. We're all like that. Repentance, but not willing to give up all desires down deep. Double-minded on putting away sin versus benefiting from sin. Again, something to think about on how we're motivated. Okay, next slide. Again, this one we're going to do the same as the last one. We have the scriptures that would inform the outer man and the inner man, and I think this is wonderfully prepared. I really, really like this construct. Of course, not everything can be put into one slide with a few little scriptures listed and a couple of little words. So, but they're categories for thought and personal, you know, study. The outer man of single-minded zeal. The outer man accepts penalties when repenting, exhibits diligence, clearing, indignation, fear, vehement desire, zeal, and vindication. Does not justify self in repentant prayer. Confesses openly, not just from outward. And the inner man trusts God's judgment for penalties. Really understands himself in comparison to God as nothing. Not looking to keep up an image, but to repent deeply. Asks God to show truth on the inside. Desires a clean heart. Spiritually renewed after repenting. Something that strikes me on this level three is that there's a lot to admire here, right? There's a lot to admire here. I've been in the church since I was a little kid, and That, to me, is the line that says this is what a Christian is supposed to look like. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 16, and I'm just going to excerpt a couple of scripture passage verses in there. I think we need to understand that level 3 is from man's perspective. God has his perspective. Ephesians 4, verse 4. There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of all the stature and all the fullness of Christ. That's not in level 3. That's not in level 3. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. We've heard a little bit about this lately in some messages from, you know, the Council of Elders and Home Office. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Laying on those spiritual tree rings of growth. None of us have arrived at perfect yet, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. None of us have anything close yet to the spiritual growth rings, right, in ourselves that we can put up to say that we've grown up in all things unto him who is the head. Even when we would consider ourselves at what would be an excellent level, level 3, we need to realize we do not see as God sees. And we must seek God's revealing to us our need to attain additional growth. Next slide, please. Okay. Christ, level 4. How am I doing on time here? I think I'm short on time, so I'm just going to jump to doing the outer man and inner man and leave that to you to read the scriptures, because I want Mr. Karamidjian to have full capability to give his message. The outer man, Christ's level. Next slide, please. One more. There we go. The outer man, his purpose was to seek out the sick and those in need of a physician and help them repent and live. Suffered for other sins and took them on himself to his death. Didn't cave when around sinners. Next slide, please. The inner man. The inner man, not weighed down with sins or fleshly desires and sins, and could see clearly to help others. Thoughts about wiping out sin and bringing times of refreshing and healing. And I wouldn't even call this next level, right, from 3 to 4. It's like the great beyond level. It's complete perfection in action and motive. I quote to you Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 11. What's God say there to us? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it to bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for that for which I sent it. You know, may God's pure word truly accomplish what he pleases and prosper in the thing for which he sent it, in the spiritual growth in each of us. Right? We really want to see those rings of growth as God wants us to. Something to really take to heart about this concept of spiritual mastery is that unless and until we pursue having the mind of Christ in us by consistently reading God's word and asking him to help us follow the lead of our Lord and Master and elder brother, Jesus Christ, we will never attain spiritual mastery. To truly attain this kind of mastery and growth in our spiritual tree ranks, we must first engage in submission, knowing that the more we submit to God, the greater the level of spiritual mastery he will grant us to attain. And next and final slide, please. So the same passage we started off with, Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8, but this time in the New Living Translation. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. In conclusion, I have three statements. As we approach the Passover this year, which is just under 10 weeks away, let us seek to grow and flourish in adding the next layer to our spiritual tree rings, enduring the pruning, drinking deeply of God's word and his Holy Spirit in order to bring forth fruit of righteousness. Let us stand tall and look up to our elder brother and the captain of our salvation as trees of righteousness, with our roots running firm and deep into the life-giving waters that he can so abundantly provide. And also, let us be seeking to have our faith and very being be made up of the highest quality, solid spiritual hardwood. Wherever there's veneer, it should go. We want to be solid, grown in God's fashion, focused and made solid hardwood. And lastly, when I wrote this, a tear came to my eye. Probably a lot of reasons for that. Lastly, may our individual songs of God's Spirit blowing through our green leaves and upheld limbs exhibit the beautiful notes of growth which he desires, and may he be more pleased with our song this year than the last.